many different types of people here tonight, different from the standpoint of where you are in your station in life. Andrew's probably the youngest. What grade are you in, Andrew?
Third grade.
And so he's just getting to that point in life where, and maybe not yet, but he's maybe starting to put together the dreams of his life, maybe thinking about what he wants to be. Ashley's probably the next youngest. What grade are you in, Ashley? Which one? Seventh grade, so in junior high. Again, a little bit further along than Andrew is, but in that point of life where she's starting to make some decisions that will affect the rest of her life, and again, trying to figure out what God wants her to be. Now, I'm not going to try to go in chronological order tonight. I'll just say there are other types of people here tonight. There are young married couples, some with no children, some with children that are learning the joys of parenthood and enjoying parenthood every day. There's some middle-aged adults here that are enjoying their grandchildren. There's some older adults that haven't retired yet but looking forward to that day. And then there's many senior citizens that have already retired and enjoying the life that God has for them. Some of you here, several of you here, your spouse has already gone to heaven. And I know it's not a day that doesn't go by that you don't somehow think about them and miss them. And yet the same question faces Andrew that faces the oldest person here and everybody else in between. And that question is the title and theme of my message tonight: how to get where you're supposed to be when you don't know how to get, when you don't know where you're going, nor how to get there. How to get where you're supposed to be when you don't know where it is, or how to get there. And here's what I mean by that question. How does each one of us, from Andrew on up, how does each one of us get to that place that God wants us to be in our life? How do we reach our destiny that God has planned out for us? How do we get to that destination, that next destination? You can take it in phases, as I was thinking about it this afternoon. You can take it in phases. How do I get to the place that God wants me to be at the end of this week? How do I get to the place that God wants me to be at the end of the month? How do I get to the place that God wants me to be at the end of the year? I mean, if I ask Andrew, if I go into the nursery tonight and ask Evan or Ryan, They wouldn't even understand the question. Now, the rest of us might understand the question, but I think if we were honest, we would say, well, I don't know the answer. I don't know how to get to that place that God wants me to be, because I don't know where it is, and I don't know how to get there. So I'm going to give you an answer tonight, and it's going to be the same answer for every single person. It'll work for Andrew just like it'll work for me. And it'll work for Reg just like it'll work for Ron over here. It's the same answer. And it doesn't matter how old you are. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are in life. How do you get to that place where God wants you to be when you don't know where it is and you don't know how to get there? A three-word answer: walk with God. Walk with God. I took out my dictionary. I looked up the in the Webster's dictionary. I have an old one that my father-in-law bought me at a garage sale. He's the kind of guy that gets up in the morning, and after he reads the Bible, he reads the dictionary. And we didn't have one, and he doesn't think any home should be without a dictionary. So it's an older one. I can't remember what year it was published, but I looked up the word walk. There were 20 different definitions for the word walk. But the one that I picked out, the one that sort of serves my purpose tonight, is this one. Walk, to move forward by planting one foot firmly in front of the other before lifting the other. Now, if you stop and think about that, that's a technically correct definition of walk. And we walk all the time, and we don't, I mean, most of us don't think about what we're doing, but we are exactly following that definition. We are lifting a foot, moving it forward, planting it firmly, and then we are lifting the other foot, moving it forward, planting it firmly, and then we are, this is hard to do in slow motion, and then we are lifting the other one, moving it forward, and planting it firmly. And so that's the definition that I'm going to use tonight when I say we're going to walk with God, is to lift, move, plant. Lift, move, plant. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, I want you to think about it in a very simple way tonight. If I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to get beside God, and as He lifts, I'm going to lift. As He moves, I'm going to move. As He plants, I'm going to plant. And I'm going to stay in cadence with God. Our scripture reading tonight, again in verses 3 through 6, asked a series of rhetorical questions. And most of the answers, if not all of the answers, there's one I'm not real sure about, but most of the answers to those questions is no. No. And I want to take the first one to sort of use as a basis for my message tonight, where the Bible asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer to that is no. Bill and I can't walk together unless we agree on some things. And I can't walk with God to get the answer to the question of how do I get to where I'm supposed to be when I don't know where it is or how to get there. I cannot walk with God unless I agree with God on some pretty basic things. And it's those things that we have to agree on in order to walk with God that gives us the answer to the question that I'm posing before you tonight. So, let me tell you what we need to agree with God on if we're going to walk with God. Number one, we have to agree on where we're going. Right? I mean, if Bill and I don't agree on where we're going, I mean, if he thinks we're going over to that side of the building, and I think we're going to go over to this side of the building. Let's say we're here and we're working. And he thinks we're going to do a job over there, and I think we're going to do a job over there. He's going to go that way, and I'm going to go that way. Are we walking together? No. If we don't agree on where we're going, we can't walk together. Now, the problem is, I don't know where we're going. God does, but I have no idea where He wants me to be, what destination He wants me at. I have no idea where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I have a general idea. I know some things I'm supposed to do, but I have, for example, I have no idea where God wants me to be at the end of this week. I have no idea where He wants me to be at the end of the month of August. I have no idea. But the one that I'm walking with does. God knows. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He knows where I'm supposed to be at the end of the day. Ron, He knows where I'm supposed to be at the end of next week. He knows where I'm supposed to be at the end of the month, at the end of the year, at the end of next year. God has it all planned out, specific destinations where I'm supposed to be. I just need to agree with God. I'm going to end up the same place you are. I mean, I just need to simply agree with God. We're going to the same place. I have no idea where it is, but you do. So I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to go the same place that you do. I mean, that's the basis for the story of Abraham. You've heard it, most of you, many times. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to move. Abraham said, okay, no problem. Where are we going to move to? Don't worry about it. Just come on and walk with me, and I'll tell you when we arrive. And so Abraham and God, together, they lifted, they moved, they planted. They lifted, they moved, they planted. Together. And one day God said, Abram, call him Abram, not Abraham yet. Abram, we're here. We've arrived. I remember when I was 16, my dad decided he was going to take the family on a driving trip to California. I was 16, my younger brother was 14, and my baby brother was 12. So he loaded the three boys and my mom into a 1966 Pontiac Catalina. And we started for California. And we were going to go up, take a northern route to get there through Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I'll leave out some of the Dakotas and Montana and Idaho. And then we were going to get to Washington, drive down the coast. They had some friends in California we were going to visit. And then we were going to come back through New Mexico and Arizona and Texas and that way. So we got in the car the first day, and we'd driven for a couple hours, and we said to Dad, well, where are we going to stop tonight? Where are we going to try to get to tonight? He says, well, I don't know. We'll just drive for a while, and when I see a good spot that I think's a good spot to stop, we'll stop. So we drove over to somewhere in Illinois or Wisconsin, I can't remember, and about 4 o'clock, he said, hey, I think this looks like a good place to stop, so we'll stop. He gets out of the car. By the way, first time I ever stayed in a hotel or a motel or whatever you want to call it. Every other vacation, we'd always gone to where we could get there in one day, and we always stayed with relatives. The first time that any of my brothers or I stayed in a hotel. So Dad gets out of the car. We pull into this little hotel, and he says, I'm going to go get us a room. And we say, okay. So he goes into the office. He's there for a few minutes. He comes back out with the key. We go eat Brother Reg. We go swimming. We go to bed. Get up the next morning, do the same thing. We ask the same question. Where are we going to end up tonight? He said, well, I just thought we'd drive for a while, and when I see a good spot I think we should stop, we'll just stop. So we drove 7 or 8 hours, over into Wisconsin or Minnesota, I can't remember. And same thing happened. About 4 o'clock, he said, oh, this looks like a good spot. So we pull into a little hotel. He gets out of the car, goes in, comes back with the key. We eat, swim, go to bed. Did it the third day, did it the fourth day, did it the fifth day. We were on our way home, 19th day of our 21-day vacation. You ever been in a car trip with three boys? My mother, she was ready to get home, Helen. She was like you, glad to be home. 19th day, same thing. Dad says, this looks like a good place. I think I'm going to stop right here and see if I can get this room. I said, Dad, I'd like to go into the hotel with you. All these nights you've been going in and getting a room, I'd just like to see what you do. He said, okay, come on. So we walk in together to this little office. We didn't have a lot of money, so we stayed in, out-of-the-way kind of places. So we go to this place, and he goes up to the little desk, and there was a woman behind it, and he says, reservation for Manning. She pulled through some cards or something like that. She said, I've got it. And so gives him a key. And we were walking back out to the car, and he said, Dad, what's a reservation? He said, well, that's when you call ahead and get a room so you make sure you have a room. If you don't make a reservation, you might not get a room. And I said, well, but I thought you told us that we're just going to drive until you look like a good place. And then he said, that's exactly right. But before we left, I sort of planned out where would be good places, and I've made us a reservation every single night. And that's the way God is. I'll tell you what, he was smart. The only time we asked him on that whole trip, are we there yet, was day 20 and day 21. We didn't ask him the rest of the time because he was just looking for a good place to stop. But that's the way God is. He's got our whole life planned out. And I know I'm talking to some of you that are in the last days, but listen to me. He's got your whole life planned out, Reg. He knows where you're supposed to be next week and the week after that. He's got a reservation for you. Now, you don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. But he's got a reservation planned out in a good spot. See, all we need to do is lift, move, plant. I'm going to do it standing still so I don't fall. Lift, move, plant. Lift, move, plant, in cadence with God, and he'll say, hey, this is a good place to stop. Let's stop. And we agree, just like Abraham did, that where God is going is where we are going. So we agree on the place that we're going. Number two, if we're going to walk together, we not only need to agree on where we're going, but we need to agree on the way that we're going to get there. Not only agree on where we're going, but we need to agree on the way we're going to get there. In most cases, there's more than one way to get from point A to point B. What's the best way? What's the best way to make that journey? Again, I don't know. I can't see what's down the road. I can't see what's around the curve. I can't see if I decide to turn left, what's going to be awaiting for me there. Left, and what's going to be waiting for me there, and I can't see if I decide to turn right. I know my difference between right and left. If I turn right, what's going to be the difference? What's going to be waiting for me on the road there? But God can. I don't need to see what's around the next turn. I don't need to see what's miles down the road. I just need to lift, move, and plant. Lift, move, and plant as God does. And let him decide the way that we're going. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, narrow is the way that leadeth to life." Now, I know the primary application of what he was saying was where people spend eternity. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I think it also has another application as to how we live our life. I think in order to have that abundant life that Jesus wants each one of us to have, we have to stay on the narrow way. This book defines that narrow way. And I'll tell you tonight, unashamedly, this book is a narrow book. It's not a broad book. It defines a narrow way. And if I want that abundant life that Jesus came to give me, I've got to stay in that narrow way that he defines for me in this book. And so this book tells me the way that I need to go. And if I'm walking with God, I'm going to stay in this book, and I'm going to let him define the way that I need to go. Here's the problem. Most of us are like Ford. You say, what do you mean by that? We have a better idea. God says, do it this way. You say, oh, I have a better idea, God. I'm going to do it this way. Now, God certainly gives us the freedom to make those choices. I mean, I'm not a robot. I know I should obey God. I know I should stay in this in the narrow way. I know I should let him decide the way to get me from where I am to where he wants me to be. But I can make choices. I can say, I've got a better idea. I know, God, you got an idea, but I've got one too. And we can make those choices. But those choices have consequences. I mean, just think about the guy we talked about this morning, Achan. Achan, God's idea was, hey, look, you tithe, and then I'll bless what's left. I'll bless the rest. That's good. Okay. You tithe, I'll bless the rest. And that was God's plan for when the children of Israel went into the promised land. The tithe was Jericho. Everything in the city that God said, like we talked about this morning, the silver and the gold and the vessels that were made of iron and brass, they were to be God's. And God said to his people, look, there's plenty of wealth that's in this land that I'll give you. You go back and you read about even the next city, Ai, a little city, and read how many animals they got there and how many people they got there. There was a bunch of stuff. And God's plan was, look, you give me Jericho, you give me the first fruit, you give me the tithe, and then I will bless you abundantly with what's left. Achan says, oh, hey, I got a better idea. I'll take what's God's. I'll take what belongs to him. And as we talked about this morning, the results were disastrous, not only for him, but for his family. Let me catch up to where my notes are. Whenever I go down to Arkansas and see my in-laws, I usually try to stay a Friday night and a Saturday. And my mother-in-law's into walking. And so we'll be setting up late talking on on Friday night. And she said, well, you're going to go walking with me in the morning. I said, well, sure. Sure. She walks about an hour. And she has in this little neighborhood that they live in. And my father-in-law doesn't walk. He does the first block with us, but then he gets tired and he goes back. But she's got this route prescribed through the neighborhood. I mean, and I can't even describe it for you. I mean, it goes up one street, over, down, and then back and over. And I mean, but it, every time I go, it's the same way. Same way. I never have figured out what the route is. I'm usually, we're talking about different stuff, and I just follow her. Sometimes she'll nudge me and say, no, we're going over this way. I mean, I'm in agreement with her that, you know, we started from the house, we're going to get back to the house. We don't get breakfast till we get back to the house. So I'm interested, Brother Clinton, getting back to the house. But I don't know the way that she's going, even though I've been on it two or three times. I just walk with her. And the same thing is true of God. If we can say, like Abraham, I don't know where we're going, but I know that you do. I'm just going to walk with you, and when we get there, you tell me. And if we can say, just like I do to my mother-in-law, I don't know which way we're going, but I know you do, so I'm just going to walk with you. If we can say that to God, I don't know how to get, and I not only know where we're going, I don't know how to get there, but I know that you do, and I'm just going to walk with you. And then number three, if we're going to walk together, we not only have to agree on where we're going to go, we not only have to agree on how we're going to get there, we've got to agree on the pace. How fast are we going to walk? If I walk too fast, I'm going to get there before I'm supposed to. Might miss something along the way. If I don't walk fast enough, I'm not going to get there when I'm supposed to. I'm going to be late. And again, I don't know. Look, I don't know where we're going. I don't know the way we're going. I don't know when we're supposed to be there. But God does. And so I'm just going to lift, move, plant, lift, move, plant, as God does. When the children of Israel were being led through the wilderness by God, the cloud led them by day, and the fire led them by night. They did not know where they were going. I mean, they knew they were going to end up in the promised land, but they didn't know exactly when. They didn't know which way they were taking that particular day. But the cloud led them. The pillar of fire by night led them. But did you ever stop and think that the cloud and the fire also set the pace? If you got your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 9. I want to show you this. Numbers chapter 9. Find verse 15. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that cloud was taken up in the morning, and they journeyed, whether it was by day or night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, here's what those verses are saying. And again, think about it in the context that I'm talking about tonight. The cloud, God set the pace. If they spent the night and the cloud arose the next morning and started moving, they got up and started moving with the cloud. If the cloud decided to stay a certain place for 2 days, they stayed for 2 days. If it decided to stay a month, they stayed for a month. If it decided to stay for a year, they stayed for a year. The cloud set the pace of their journey. Now, I want to give you two examples and then another illustration, and I'll be done. I can remember when I was a kid going over to spend a week at a time with my grandparents on my mom's side, and I always had a good time. I enjoyed spending time with my grandparents. There was always two things during the week that I looked forward to, Brother Dick. My grandpa was the treasurer of his church. And he did it different than we do. Larry counts the money and deposits on Sunday night. But somebody brought it over to him. And on Monday morning, he would count it. So when I was there, I got to help him. And just like painting the closets, Brother Clint, I gave him the easy stuff. He handled the cash and the checks. I counted all the coins. Okay? They went to a church that was about 200 in size, so they would usually have a sack of pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, and it would take us 2 or 3 hours to count, you know, all the money. And so I would take the change and I would count it and roll it up and all that. My second highlight was on Thursday, because he worked a different shift every day. On Thursday he worked afternoons. And I would get to go with him to work. And I think I've shared with you before, he worked in a building down in Detroit. They lived on the east side of Detroit. And we'd go down there and we'd just basically have the run of the building. But my grandparents did not have a car. Every place they went, they walked or took the bus. And I look back on it now. On Monday mornings after we counted the church money, we'd walk to the bank. I'd be carrying this grocery sack with probably $70 worth of change in it. And he'd have the little money bag that he'd be carrying. And I'm just surprised that we were never robbed when we were doing that, because he did it every Monday. And then when we'd go to work on Thursday night, we'd have to walk about 3 blocks to catch the bus. And then when we got downtown Detroit, we had to walk 3 blocks to where he worked. My grandfather had arthritis even at that point in his life. He walked with a cane. And I was always 3 or 4 steps ahead of him, Candy. And I would always be looking back and say, come on, Grandpa, let's go a little bit faster. And he says, you just need to slow down and smell the roses. Just slow down and smell the roses. I never did understand what he was talking about. Slow down, smell the roses, till I got older. Second illustration. When I went to work for General Motors in 1969, I was 18 years old. I had never been in a factory. First job they gave me, Reg, was putting giant wheels on heavy-duty trucks. I used a crane to pick them up. I did that for 1 week. I stopped the line 52 times because I couldn't keep up. They came to me at the beginning of the second week, Leonard, and they said, you need a new job. So they assigned me to work inventory control. And I was assigned to Harold. I don't remember what his last name. Harold could walk faster than any man I've ever met in my life. I mean, he could just... I had to run to keep up with Harold. And Harold would always be looking over his shoulder. Come on, come on, come on. We haven't got all day. We got to move. As God sets the pace for how we walk with him, that's sometimes what happens to us. Sometimes as God's lifting, moving, planning, and we're trying to start in cadence, we're sort of back here and we're sort of saying, hey, God, I sort of like the place that we're at now. Could we just stop here for a little bit? And God looks back and says, no, it's not in the plan. We're going to stop a little bit further down the road. So come on. Come on. This is, let me give you an example. This young people that get married and don't realize they're married. Guy still wants to run with his old buddies, and the girl still wants to run with her girlfriends. And they don't realize they're married, and they can't stop in that place that they've enjoyed because they're not supposed to be there anymore. Sometimes parents don't want to let their kids go. They want to let them grow up. They want to stay in the spot that they like. And God says, no, you're not supposed to be there now. Your son's 32 years old. Let him figure out how to get up at 8 o'clock when he's supposed to. So sometimes God's lifting, moving, planting, and we're a couple steps behind him because we've sort of found the spot that we like and we don't want to move. Now, there's other times when God has sort of stopped and we're sort of like this. We're ready to take the next step. And we're sort of saying to God, like I said to my grandpa, hey, come on. The little child that just can't wait to be a teenager. The teenager that can't wait to be a college student. The college student that just can't wait to get out on their own. And God says, hey, just sort of slow down. I don't think maybe he does. Smell the roses a little bit. Enjoy being a child. When it's time to move on, we'll move on. Enjoy. I've known parents, their kids get to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they said, oh, I just can't wait till these kids get older. You'll be sorry. Enjoy them when they're 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't get ahead of God. Just sort of plant yourself there, and when he's ready to lift and move and plant, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. Now, I'm closing again. One place every single person ought to want to go, for sure. Heaven. Heaven. I know how to get there. There's only one way. Only one way. It's the best way, but it's the only way. And the pace is now. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to make that decision tonight. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We don't have to wait for God to give us any more directions. He's already says, hey, I've already told you how to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ. You need to make that decision. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what it teaches us. So practical. And I pray tonight, I know most of us, if not all of us here tonight, know Jesus as our Savior. And so I pray that we would learn what it is to walk with God. Often imagine in my mind that conversation you had with Abraham when you told him he was going to move, and he asked where, and you said, well, I'll just tell you when we get there. Come on, let's start. And Abraham said, I can do that. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. Father, help us to say that same thing. I can do that. I can depend on God to tell me where I need to go. I can depend on God to tell me how to get there. I can depend on God to tell me how fast or how slow I need to travel to make that journey. And I pray that we would have the faith of Abraham. We got the same God. I pray we'd have the same faith to walk with our God. Let him decide where we're going, how we're going to get there, and what the pace should be. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to do that. Again, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray you'll help them make that decision tonight. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives what you know needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.